wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen.
There it is, feeling
maybe
it.
Maybe we could keep in touch
like I did in the old days. Here we go, so getting loud.
Oh,
you're listening to Pen Pals with Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel.
Sign your pen pal.
Daniel.
I love that song.
We made it through another week, and our audiences don't know that we record 8 of these in one day.
I know.
And
we're not telling.
We stack them up and we get them out there. And that's, we're an industry now. We're a factory of podcast episodes.
Do you remember our address?
Nope.
I don't either.
If anyone wants to send us any letters for the show,
snail mail style,
you can send it snail mail.
The Pen Pals.
I think
pod.
I'm remembering it. Hold on. Okay. This is off the top of my head. Yeah. I think it's going to be care of the Pen Pals Podcast, 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, number 121, Los Angeles, California, 90027. Or you can just email us, which is wildly easier for everybody. But we don't mind that snail mail. It's fun.
And I want the full story, but I also want to encourage people. Is this the right word? Brevity?
Okay.
Yeah. Like when possible. Just because I don't want it to be too long.
Oh, you mean the length of the letter?
Yes.
I got to say, there are some new listeners since we've gone over to Team Coco. And you're putting some novels out there. They're very interesting. It's just very hard to get to them on a show.
We only have so much time.
Speaking of which,
we have only
so much time with our guest today because this show isn't, it's not a 2-hour podcast.
No, we don't do it that way.
We're 50 minutes. We're a 50 minute in and out. I don't want to waste all our time with this upfront BS.
He's an actor.
I want to get right to him.
He's a comedian. He's a writer.
He's an American actor, according to Wikipedia.
American comedian, American actor. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Nealon.
Devin, welcome to Pen Pals.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Hi,
well, you're in the mix.
What a reception.
Yeah.
That was nice. Listen
it feels good, right?
Listen to that.
Well, we that's a sound effect. We put that applause in there. There's not a live audience.
Because I was wondering, where's the audience?
Are they remote. We're still very COVID safe. Nice. We put them in a COVID unsafe situation, slammed together while we're in here, completely safe. Kevin, I think I sent you a picture of this a long time ago, and I'm only bringing it up because when we are recording this, we're on the heels of Halloween, but I think I sent you a picture of when I was a kid and I went as Hans and Franz for Halloween, and it felt so satisfying to make a connection with you to where I could actually just personally show you that this was a thing that we did, and it was a hit. It was a real hit.
Sure it was. Do you, which one were you?
You know, that's a great question. Kevin, which one were you?
I don't even know which one I was.
If you made me guess, you were Franz.
That's right. That was Franz.
You were?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't remember you?
I don't remember who I was. I just remember that we brought gray sweatpants and sweatshirts and stuffed them with clothes and pillows and belts. And it was so...
It looked great, man.
Hot. Yeah. It was hot.
Do you know how many times you guys did that?
No, I don't remember at all.
You know the crazy thing with like Two Wild and Crazy Guys? Is they only did that like 3 times or 4 times.
Oh, really?
But it got replayed so much at every like... holiday episode or like
it was a hit that
people think it was like on all the time, and I feel the same way. Like Hans and Franz was so good, I bet you'd be surprised it wasn't as many times as you
maybe it was
think.
Only twice.
I don't know. Wow, that'd be wild, wouldn't it?
No, you know, it's funny.
We did it once
and then it was kind of a mild reception, you know, people are kind of curious. Right. And then we held off for a couple of weeks and I said we should try Hans and Franz again. And so we wrote up another one, and when we came out, it was just recognition and people loved it.
Yeah, they were just on board.
It was just they were there. That's the they best. Were welcoming them back. Yeah.
I loved it.
Well, should we get to it?
Let's go to the letters.
Okay, ready?
People write us and we just take it from there.
And now they've written you too. You're technically a pen pal.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, great. You're the responsibility.
You're just
I love
as guilty.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, pen pals. I shan't pick a side by naming one of you first. My name is Andrew. I discovered your podcast a few months ago, mainly through a previous podcast with Monsignor Rory.
Okay.
I'm an American, but I live in China. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm an American, but I live in China, and this podcast helps give me my daily dose of English and keeps me sane. Over the past few months, I have become a huge fan of both of you. Your chemistry is top-notch, and your responses are ridiculous yet poignant. Now, for the actual subject of the letter. I have been making a boat since January 2021, and the process is going well. I don't want to sidestep this letter too much, but it can only go well, right? Otherwise, it's not a boat.
I think
if it doesn't go well, it's not a boat.
How would you know if it wasn't going well? It just wasn't going anywhere.
You won't find out until you get it on the water, right?
Yeah.
But if it looks like a boat, and if
it has
smells
to float
like a boat,
it has to float like a boat.
It's got
to
float like a boat.
Okay. Actually, I've been making a boat since January 21. Process is going well. I recently began painting the interior and will hopefully be getting her on the water soon. The problem is that I can't settle on a name. She's about 11 and a half feet long and about 4 feet wide. She will soon be rigged with a removable mast so I can either row or sail her. Her final color scheme will be blue and white, pretty straightforward for a boat. While boats are always gendered female, the name itself doesn't have to be female or even necessarily human. However, it does need to be relatively short and should be family friendly, as the boat will be stored at a local sailing club. Pictures are attached below. She's far from perfect, but not bad for a first try. I'm sure that whatever you decide will be the perfection itself. Please name my boat for me. Sincerely, Andrew. You may also use my name or wildcard. Give me a crazy fake name if you prefer. I think we're already giving enough.
We've already
names.
Dove into Andrew.
Yeah.
Let's see what that looks like.
She's a beauty.
Yeah. This is what we're looking like.
She's a beauty.
I mean, we could also dissect what's going on with this Renfair.
Well, I don't think vinyl siding is going to hold up, but all right.
Yeah. It doesn't. What kind of wood is that? I wonder.
I don't know.
I like the inside, the white. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's going to look good.
I like
good.
The ribs.
That's going to look good.
Yeah. What kind of boat?
Do you boat at all?
I have boated.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever owned a boat? Have either one of you ever owned a boat?
I've always read you don't own a boat.
Right. No, that's the thing. As soon as you drive it off the lot,
right, it's in the water. There's two. You're underwater on it. They always say that the two best days of owning a boat are the day you get it and the day you sell it.
Yeah.
It's so much work. It's a retired man's game, like, or woman's.
And here's what I don't like, Daniel, is when somebody invites you out on a boat, you know, and then they dock it. You can't just go home. You have to help them put everything away and clean it all up.
All of it. Yeah. All of it.
I don't make you do that after I have a party.
Do you ever clean up? I've been on a boat a few times to go on a fishing thing, and I have to say, the moment we get on the boat, the moment we are 20 yards from the dock, is when I'm like, well, wait, where do we shit? That's all I think about the whole time.
You're on a small boat, then.
You're on a small boat.
Well,
even a boat that does have a bathroom. You're like, is that okay?
Yes.
Because people are like, hey, don't shit on the boat.
That's a bumper sticker.
They mean don't talk badly about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't talk bad about how we've named her.
I have a cousin who's they do like 10, 15-day excursions, and he's a chef on the boat. So he had a hookup through a day trip boat.
Yeah.
And we went down to San Diego. Well, he lives on there, but I went down to San Diego. It's 4 in the morning. You get up to go be on the boat by 4:30. They leave at 5 or whatever.
Jesus.
We get out there. We start fishing. And at some point, I just thought to myself, this is just a job.
Yeah.
I've signed up to recreationally go do something that people do every day
to
for
survive.
Their living.
Yes. To survive.
Mm-hmm. This is just work. It's like what you're saying. You get up on a boat and you're like, oh, you wanted me to come help you clean your boat? That's right. Yeah. That's what we're doing
here
today.
This boat here looks like it's about, 12 feet long?
Yeah,
14 feet?
Yeah, you're exactly. She's 11 and a half feet long and about 4 feet wide.
And it's kind of like, I guess there's going to be oars on here or a sail.
He can go
sail.
Either way. Yeah, he's going to have a removable mast. I don't know how this sword and shield come into play.
Well, it's kind of a Viking type of a boat, I guess.
If someone says you don't get a choice, you do have to build a boat. How long does that take you with zero knowledge of what the fuck to do?
Did you ever watch Alone?
Yes.
But have you ever watched the show Alone?
No.
10 people go out into a wilderness. There's no one within 3 miles of you, and you just go until there's one person left. There's been a couple seasons.
I've seen Hunger Games.
There you go.
Same thing.
Yes. Yeah. More weapons.
Okay.
There is a couple seasons where people build a boat with tarp and branches. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
If I had to build a boat, I think Bill Burr has a bit about this where he's like, you ever just see a cruise ship and go, that floats.
Yeah.
That whole does anybody ever just stop to think,
a hotel,
how does a fucking, does it work?
Well, I will tell you how it works. A lot of people know this, but those cruise ships, the massive ones, they're inflatable.
No.
They're all blown up with air.
That's
all. Yeah,
that's true.
So it's like a bouncy castle.
It's
that
a big,
you
big bouncy castle.
Trying to exactly, walk yeah. constantly. Yeah.
Food at the buffet is all over the place.
These rocky seas. No, that's just the boat.
That's horrible.
Actually, the water's very calm today.
That's
it's
why
just the boat.
Never allow sharp objects on those boats.
Never. That's why you can't get a fork.
No, you can't get a fork. You got to eat with a fork.
A shark so much as nibbles at the
You're
base
done,
of
yeah.
that thing.
We yeah. lose them all.
But that is true. I mean, but this boat, it is. It's not a ship. It's a boat.
100% a boat.
It is a boat, and it's probably just going to be. Where does he live in China?
Yes, lives in China.
So he's probably duplicating some kind of a Chinese. What do they call those boats in China?
Oh, not
a junk. A junk.
Yes,
is that true?
Yeah, yes,
they call them junks.
So, I've never named a boat.
I don't even know how to build a birdhouse, if I'm honest. So,
you
I, if could, someone said
you
build,
didn't build a birdhouse in high school,
look, I could figure out a birdhouse. But a boat, I would be like, I don't know where to start. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, are either one of you crafty?
You would start with a steering wheel.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm your pretty
way.
Crafty.
You
I
are?
I think I could build a boat. Yeah. I could build. I used to build model airplanes when I was a kid out of balsa wood.
Really?
Yeah. And I think I might have built a,
you
a boat.
You think that carries over to boat?
Well, let me finish. I built a boat, I think, with toothpicks. And
really?
A lot of glue.
A lot of glue. You built a glue boat.
A glue boat, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a few
toothpicks. Oh, you mean to say you littered. You just littered in the water is what you did.
You built a glue boat with a toothpick frame.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of paper airplanes. Yeah.
I just threw it in the water and it just dissolved. It was right. gone.
But, you know, I constantly come up with names for dogs because eventually one day I will get a dog.
You've
when
never
I
had one?
I haven't grown up. That's why I don't have another one. I know how much work they are. But I have a son who could use a dog because he has no brothers or sisters.
And, runaround friend.
But I thought of a name for a dog which would be good for this guy's boat. And it would be called, in the Boston accent, Chowder. So it would be Chowda.
Ooh.
Chowda. Chowda.
That's a good name for a dog.
I know, right?
Like, I do like it for a boat, too. In fact, Chowda? Maybe all dogs' names do work for boats.
That's well, not a bad idea.
Yeah, yours would.
Charlie.
Charlie's a good name for a boat.
Yeah. But does the boat, and I don't know why this started, like to have this clever phrase be the boat.
Well, I remember when I saw Tony watching Sopranos and his boat was called Stugatz.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why that always stuck with me. I thought of one, but it is a clever one.
What?
Murder She Boat.
Get the nice. See, that's what I mean. It's got to be like a pun.
Murder She
or
Boat.
Or a phrase. Or almost the title of like a romance novel, but it's not. It's just about the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that where the direction boat naming?
I don't know. Yeah,
went?
It does always have to
like
be
like Chowda is just someone.
I
goes,
like Chowda.
Huh.
I like Chowda a lot.
You have a good. You can do a good Boston. What's Wahlberg's Chowda?
If Chowda. Wahlberg said it,
dude, he'd walk up to you and he'd go Chowda.
Chowder?
You guys want any fucking chowder, dude? Did I tell you the other night I made chowder? Donnie ate it all. Chowder? Donnie took the whole goddamn pot.
I saw him on the golf course the other day.
Donnie or Mark?
Wait, I didn't know Donnie
the
golfed.
Singer?
Oh, Donnie golfed.
Mark like, it was golfs Donnie, every day.
Who? They both golf a lot, but Mark is, I think he has a par three at his house.
Yeah.
This is at Riviera. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Mark. Mark is out like first group.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Playing.
Can I do...
You say anything.
We were doing a Rob Riggle's charity golf thing. This guy just pulls up. He's missed so many holes. He got there late. He just pulls up with his golf cart and his golf clubs. Our group is already going. He's not even in our group. Kevin just pulls up while we're on the tee box. He's just chatting with us. He just gets out his driver, just plays with it for two holes, and he's like, you guys are boring the shit out of me. And then he just left to go play with another group.
No, what happened,
Kevin,
was
are you like the guy at a group dinner that's like, you guys all order, I'll pick.
I tell Rob I'll come, but I just had shoulder surgery, so I can't really play that much.
Right.
You know, so I was just trying it. I was hitting the ball. I hadn't golfed in a long time.
The coming and going was so cool, it made us feel like we were doing it wrong. We're like, I think he's got it right. You play two holes, go find a new group, talk to them for a second, then you can head home. You're done.
Because because of your shoulder, you wanted the option to bail or not. You know what I mean?
Well, I was. They said, just go around the course and visit a few foursomes. But here's a good name for a boat, Shank.
Shank. Yeah.
Oh, that is
Shawshank.
Yes.
Shawshank.
Shank's a
Ship
good
Shank.
One.
Shank. Shank's a good dog.
Shank you
it.
Very
it's
much.
It's a good dog name. It's a good boat Shank. Name.
Shanky.
The way
Shanky.
I work Shanks. On my puns Shanks. Is I'll pick a word that I need to use and then try to rhyme that and then see if that works.
Murder, right? She boat. I mean, you're questioning every like ocean murder that happened. They're like, what do you know?
You are going to be
the first. Because my boat says murder on it.
Serial killer.
Yeah.
You do the comma, right? You have to do the comma.
Serial killer.
Cease and desist.
Oh, cease and desist is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm so bad at puns and these phrases. I don't know.
I'm great at naming kids. Whenever somebody's about to have a baby, I said, I'll come up with the name if you want, because I'm really good at that.
And they're boats. Always asking. They're always asking, yeah, what does Kevin think the name should be?
Yeah.
Didn't you guys went for a long time debating Elliot and we somebody debated. In a coffee shop, right?
We had a list of five, and then I was like, I think we just got to let a stranger break the tie. And so I just handed a stranger at a coffee shop the list, and I go, what do you think for our kid? It's a girl. And the guy took it, and he sat there for like a minute or two, and then he goes, Elliot, and here's why. And I was like, oh, I think this guy gets to decide. He's like, yeah, here's why it's the best name of all of them.
I love that you went with it.
Yeah. Well, he was right.
We have we know this couple. They have nine kids.
Whoa.
Three are biological, and the last three are biological. And the last two, they didn't name for like a year and a half after they were born.
No.
They wanted to see what their personality was like. And you know,
baby. What do you say? How do you, I could be totally wrong. Doesn't that when the brain needs that recognition of learning what they're, or is that not important? Is a name actually not that important?
They wanted to see what the personality was of the baby. When you don't have a baby, you don't have a personality until you're,
sometimes never.
Sometimes never.
That's how they ended up with poopy and crying.
That's right.
That's right. That's cryy over in the corner.
And that's poops a lot.
God, I want to add a good boat name before we get off
dude,
this letter.
I'm bad at this.
Boat, all right. Boat
because
seas,
that's the other thing, too, is boats. We
Chowda, Shank.
I think Chowda is my front runner. Chowda. Because it's simple.
Let's be
and
honest.
Easy.
The listener of the person who wrote this letter is going to be like, well, of course it's going to be Chowda. And I'm going to tell everyone Kevin Nealon wrote, named Didn't my
you?
Boat.
How
for
are, you,
me.
Are you spelling it with an A?
It would be C H O W D A.
Yeah,
Chowda.
No H.
Ooh, I like that. Chowda.
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 I think that's great.
Otherwise,
I think
it'd be Chowda.
Also, why would you not? Now you would have to, because even if their new pen pal Kevin wasn't here,
yeah,
you'd still, even if it was just one of us, but now you have this, it still gives you the story. Because isn't that, no matter what your boat is, people are like, how'd you come up with that?
Kevin Nealon.
Right. Well, I will tell you, I was in Newport Beach Harbor a month or so ago. And I was looking at the names of a lot of the boats, and a lot of them were going off that same little pun. And I can't remember what it was exactly.
But they all felt like they were derived from the same thing.
Yeah. So I don't know if this guy is going to keep his boat in a harbor. There's a lot of...
he said the boat club, right? It has to be family friendly because it's going to be parked at a,
right.
a boat club.
Slip Biden away.
Slip Biden away. That sounds like you want to murder the president.
No, you're right. I was just going slip sliding.
Well, you know, it depends on the city too, you know, because you could make a little play off of the city, but you don't want to follow what everybody else is doing, right?
Yeah.
No.
You want to do like
Chowda? I think it's great.
What about 50-50?
Why?
Sometimes it's got a mast, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it floats, sometimes it doesn't. What about Sir Floats a Lot?
let me throw this out here. I know this is a real stretch, but how about Titanic?
Part two.
Yeah. Leo Dude, Titanic.
How many people walk and they go, they laugh? There's only two reactions. People that laugh or people that go, no. There's no like, no one sees it and goes, all right. Where you either laugh or you're offended.
Aren't they rumored to have, that there is going to be another Titanic? Don't you, every couple of years are like, oh, this cruise liner and it's.
Why do they feel the need to do that?
Because there's rogue waves out there.
Rogue waves. Also, I think it's a human thing where we just can't admit that like we got bested by nature. Like, yeah. We always try to like
try to get us
anything.
It. We'll melt all the ice and then we'll take the Titanic back out. And then we'll go, who won?
Don't you feel like the ocean be like, well, you guys had to wait 100 years and kill a lot of my ice caps.
And now because of it, you're going to be gone soon. So I guess you won round two, but round three is going to be
ours.
We're
going to come back around. Yeah.
You know, one of the engineers on the Titanic crew where they were designing it got fired because they asked him, do you think, and this is true, do you think we should put heaters on the outside of the Titanic near the bow in case they hit an iceberg? He goes, nah, not necessary.
Really?
Is that true?
No.
Kevin.
He Kevin, said you know I'll believe anything.
And then I get the same. He pulls me in with him.
It's because my eyes get wide and I'm like, Kevin knows history.
Andrew, I love this letter. I think you have to go with Chowda.
Or call it cigarette boat.
Yeah, that'll work
cigarette
too.
Cigarette boat.
Then you got to take up smoking.
Yeah. But don't you anyway? Isn't that, if you have a bottle,
everybody smokes.
Yeah, and it's your own Newport commercial. Wasn't every Newport magazine always people on a boat? Or Newport ad, like in Playboy and all those magazines from the 80s, the Newports were always people on boats smoking, I feel like.
It was always a sailboat. Hey, yeah. It's a lifestyle you wanted, you know?
He made it himself, right?
Yeah. I think
so, about Handmaiden.
Handmaiden's Whoa. Tale.
Handmaiden.
Handmaiden's no, not tale. Not the tail. No,
not the why do you put the tail on there?
I don't know. It just, it's so topical.
I'm going. My vote is Chowda. That would be mine.
Chowda.
You've heard the proper spelling. All right, Andrew. Thank you so much for this. Okay, when you get it finished, email us again.
Pictures.
Or snail mail us. We want to see pictures.
I want to see it floating.
Yeah, I want to see you out on the water. Prove that it's a boat. Let us see that you have named it. Do you have to do the champagne or wine thing? Is that still a thing?
You know, you
could
break this boat with the champagne bottle.
I think so. Yeah,
he's going to paint the outside blue?
He has to, yeah. He said he's going to
put
blue and white.
I like blue and white. The white inside looks really awesome.
And then I bet you in a future Patreon episode when we read response letters, we will definitely keep everybody up to date on what happened with Chowda.
I wonder how much longer it'll take.
That's the thing, too. He said 2021, so he's already
because sometimes boats sit
in
the garage forever when somebody's building it.
Yeah. He started in what, January?
January 2021.
Yeah. So he's at least got about I'm guessing at least two more months in this boat, if not three.
All right.
I'm guessing 2022.
Yeah.
Maybe late fall.
Really?
I don't know.
A year from now?
Yeah. I mean, anything could happen to his life.
Look, work picked up.
Yeah, things get distracting.
We never figured out a name, so I didn't put it on the water.
All right, well, let us know what happens. We wish you well, Andrew. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel,
and
Kevin Nealon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. You're listening to Pen Pals with Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel.
And Kevin Nealon.
Special guest today, Kevin Nealon.
Very special.
Dropped by. Don't you? They always say that on shows, like, somebody dropped by. No one's ever dropping by. It was a booked thing.
It was planned.
You had to park. You had to drive here. Mm-hmm. Kevin sat in traffic to be here. No one's like, hey, I was walking by. Can I be on the show?
It's not like I'm like relief food dropped from a helicopter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They drop by. They drop by and never often enough when you need them.
They just drop in.
You might have, you do have, but people should keep it for your Largo shows.
Check Largo's website. I've been doing some shows there. And then if you haven't caught Physical Season 1 on Apple TV Plus, check it out because we're starting to shoot Season 2, and then hopefully road dates at some point, but that is not on. That's not there for me yet.
Right.
But will be.
Maybe hopefully around the same time that Chowda gets in the water.
As soon as Chowda makes the water, that's when I get back on the road.
Mm-hmm. And then for me, everything's at danielvankirk.com. There's like bingo nights and digital shows, and then also live dates coming up in early 2022. The tour should start back up in March. But you'll find everything there. And one of Rory's upcoming Largo shows, I'll be joining him. Let you know when we know exactly when that's happening.
Yeah.
Kevin Nealon.
Well, I have a name for your tour, Chowda. The Chowda tour.
And we're both like, that is good.
That's nice.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you get these ideas?
All of a sudden, everything's named Chowda.
How does your brain work? Take us in there.
Yeah. You have a series that is wonderful and people can watch it.
I have a web series called Hiking with Kevin on YouTube. I hike with a different celebrity or notable person every week and it's aired. I've done about 90 of those hikes.
Is it always the same hike?
My God.
It's the same hike and same person all the time. But I could change the name tag.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's it's different trails. I do different canyons, and sometimes even I did the Smoky Mountains. And
you ever run into any wildlife doing them?
Yeah. Yeah, I ran into, a couple of dragons.
No. Did you ever just do a walk through a neighborhood and just count that as an episode?
I did start a hike once with Cheryl Hines, and she was very terrified about flowers and everything, so we ended up in a flea market.
Really?
Not a flea market, but it was a farmer's market.
It run in here. I've seen a couple of rattlesnakes. And one time on the other side of a ravine that I was on, I watched a mountain lion, a full-size mountain. And those are obviously so rare to see.
Yeah.
And I watched it go all the way to the top of this ravine and then into someone's backyard. Wow. And I'm like, I have no way of telling those people.
They got to eat.
There's a mountain lion in your backyard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, when I first moved to my neighborhood where I lived at the time, I was hiking early in the morning. I was doing the show Weeds and I was learning my lines and I would get up early and because I get so much stuff done when I'm hiking.
Sure.
Yeah. I meditate, I write, all that stuff. And I'm learning my lines and I'm about, and it's just getting light out. And I know I'm the first one on the trail because I'm hitting cobwebs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, at least the first tall person.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm about maybe a half hour up and in the ravine behind bushes, I hear a deep growl.
Oh,
I mean, I could feel it in my chest.
Yes. You know? Yes.
I knew it wasn't a dog. And so I suspected it was a mountain lion. So I scurried up. I went up further, higher. And then I came down like an hour and a half later and there's more people on the trail. It's light out.
Yeah.
No problem. The next day they caught a 200-pound mountain lion.
Oh my God.
At the end of the trail there.
200 pounds?
Yeah.
But see, that was people like that. Everything the animal did and everything you did was exactly right. Like it let you know it was there. And then you were like, all right, I'll go this way then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because had you not been careful, you could have been Chowda.
I could have been Chowda. But you know, you hear about these mountain lions knocking people off their bikes.
Oh yeah.
Killing them.
Yeah. And the thing is too, and you just said that it happened. If you ever are close enough, I have friends who've like been in Africa where you hear a big cat like growl or roar, you can feel it. It is
a vibration.
Oh my God.
Sure.
People say it's one of the things about them that you can never read and experience in a video, whatever. Every time it happens at a zoo that a lion will essentially say, I'm not supposed to be here, but everybody goes, wow, how cool.
Yeah.
And they'll roar like that and everybody feels it.
And I think the best defense they say to, you know, cautionary reaction is, and I can't remember if I'm accurate with this, to make yourself look small and weak.
Very small. You want to lay down. And if you have a knife, cut yourself.
No, that's for sharks.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Rory, you want to do it?
They say always just shoot a gun. Well, hold on. Do you have a book? You have a book coming out or is that?
I do have a book coming out next November, 2022.
Okay.
It's called I Exaggerate, My Brushes with Fame. And it's a lot of my caricature paintings I do.
Which are incredible.
Thank you, Rory. Yeah.
They are truly so amazing. And I love the fact that you take us on the journey of how you got to the final version of it, too.
That's right, yeah.
They're great. They're so great.
But each caricature will be accompanied with an anecdote about my experience with that person, or maybe something that, you know, spurs an idea from that person, you know.
Not only is that a book I'm going to buy to read for myself, that is also, it's coming out next fall, a perfect gift for people going into the holidays.
It's not coffee table books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a little smaller than a coffee table, so you can put it on any kind of table. You can bring it with you.
That's great.
Suitable for all tables. Yeah. Just leave that in the dining room.
Put it on
the dining room table.
Yeah. And we don't do interview shows here, but I will encourage anybody who hasn't already done it to go listen to Kevin on other podcasts where you know, the whole interview, rigmarole that we've all done 100 times, your story of booking SNL and getting the phone calls from Paul Simon's house, one of my favorite SNL stories. So we don't do that interviews here, but you should go seek this out if you've never heard it.
Oh, it's such a good story.
And that's how we hype. We just hype people to go to other podcasts.
Yeah, we do. We'll spread the word.
That's how I used to audition. I would go in. I would feel so insecure. I read my lines, and then I go, you know who'd be really good for this part? I would recommend somebody else.
There's so many people that have their career.
Like, we should hire him. They're like, for the role? Like, no, to cast with us. He's right about who should be who.
That's so good. All right, take it away.
Here we go. Hi, Dan and Rory. Hope your summer
was...
That's
so good to hear.
I don't like it. Should have been Rory and Dan. Hope your summer was sick as hell.
Angry right away.
I already like that. Mine has been, except for something that happened recently that's been eating me up lately. I've been with my girlfriend for almost a year now, and I love her very much. She's very outgoing and bubbly and outwardly emotional, while I'm a little more quiet, calm, and stable. Our differences work out so well. She helps me out of my shell, and I help her deal with problems and calm her when I can. But recently, she had a problem that I couldn't help her out with by consoling her or bringing her out on a meaningful date. The other day, as I was driving her back to her place from being out, We started talking about our friends, and she began getting visibly upset. So I asked her what was wrong, and she started getting really worked up about how she feels like she doesn't have anyone who reaches out to her to do things or hang out other than myself. She's a medical student who moved from the middle of the country away from all of her family and friends and only really has me and a handful of medical students here in the area to hang out with. And despite her always asking them to hang out or to go out for drinks, she feels as though they never reach out to her. I've even introduced her to some of my friends, but she feels like she has no one who she can casually hang out with and even started to cry about it. I try to go in to see her as much as I can, but she's a bit of a drive away, and I see her like at least 2 days a week, more like four most weeks. But she says that it has nothing to do with me and just had to do with friends that she feels don't care about her enough to take the initiative to ask her to hang out. She's such a smart, fun, and exciting person. I honestly don't understand why they don't reach out more, but I can't help but feel horrible for her. I'm not sure what I could do to help her other than give her a hug. Anyways, I'd just like to hear what y'all have to say about that. Love ya, Mike.
All right.
Love a good love ya sign off.
Yeah.
Love ya.
When you sign off on an email, do you look at to see how they signed off and kind of match
I usually go just go with thanks. Thanks, Daniel.
I wonder why we have to sign off on an email. Doesn't it feel so just you just leave?
At a certain point in any email thread, I stop because we're just talking.
Yeah, certain, yes. You don't, like, it's what like, is your at time? The end What's of each sentence, you're in a conversation, you don't go, okay, man, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I like what you said.
You don't do it in text. What do you roll with a best?
I go with, if they said, you know, love you or whatever, I'll go lots of love.
Nice.
Love
that's
you
a good
back.
One. Yeah.
Or
Hugs.
I even start giving, like, red hearts. To
and
people.
You do best, yeah. Best Kev Dog.
Best K Dog. K Dog, yeah.
K Dog. You just write K Dog out, and then all, people know.
Yeah. In all sincerity, Chowder.
Chowder. Kev Dog.
This is a really, sounds like a complicated relationship, and seems like Mike's doing a lot of groundwork.
I would agree.
Sounds like, first of all, we are not licensed therapists.
We say it every episode.
Every episode. Okay. Even when we don't need to, we just remind people that's
even
not
with
what
the boat
we,
guy, he yeah. said that.
Hey, look, we do not professionally name boats.
A lot of times Kevin people ask us about comedy, and we're like, we're barely professionals
we're
at that.
Barely involved in that. Right. Yeah. I think you are right. We are not licensed.
He said she's fun and all that, but she doesn't sound fun to me. She sounds like she's like bitter and maybe.
Well, I would say that's what I was going to say is I think that we all go through times in our lives where something doesn't feel right or feels off. Maybe that's our health. Maybe it's our mental health. Maybe it's our relationships.
Yeah.
And I would say, hey, you're just right now in a, and I hate using this word because it feels kind of triggering, but for lack of a better one, a phase.
Yeah.
Of your life where your closest relationships aren't near to you and the people who are near around you maybe aren't close relationships. That's not an indictment of you as a person. It just means you, for where you are right now, there just aren't people you're vibing with on a, they're going to reach out to you as much as you reach out to them. And in a couple months, when you're out of school or maybe you're working somewhere else or you're in a new community, you may have more people who want to hang out with you than you can keep up with. And you're like, I feel overwhelmed by my friends.
Yeah.
Like it can go, it ebbs and flows.
I think this could be, I mean, I like that she has opened up and said she's upset about this thing and this is what it is. So I like that there's that open line of communication to not have, you know, this guy writing us going, and I don't know what's going on, but she seems like she's upset about something. It's clearly stated, this is the issue. So I have a couple of things I'd like to say. In high school, I went to a private high school, and we lived pretty far away from where that school was and where most of the kids who went to that school were. And I went through a phase where, you know, my sister would go out on the weekends, and it was like she knew the plans all week long. And mm-hmm. I think for my first few years of high school, I sort of didn't know where I stood at this new school. When I got to ninth grade, I went to a new school.
Yeah,
I didn't really know where I stood. And I went through a phase where I had said to my sister, like, I just feel like shit. I feel like the people I hang out with at school don't reach out. And I don't know, is it the element that I don't have a car? So they have to like come and go way out of the way to get to include me.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. Or my curfew. If my curfew's sooner than theirs, it like they almost become babysitters in a way. But I also wondered, because, and I don't know, maybe we all went through this with comedy, but I craved attention and I would do anything for a laugh and to get a joke out there. And I think, honestly, there was an element where I think some people in high school are like, you're just a bit too much. You haven't learned what the, you haven't read the room yet. You haven't learned how to actually do that. And so I will say it, and I'm not saying that on this person. I'm just saying I can relate to what it feels like when you feel like you're sort of being left out, and all you can really do is sort of step back and go, well, what are the elements that would make me think this is the situation? Because if she likes hanging out with them, you have to wonder, well, are they just pretending like they enjoy my company, or mm-hmm. do they actually enjoy it? But they're at a time in their lives where, and you guys jump in on this, but are they at a point in their lives where your brain sort of changes on how you make friends? There's a phase in your life where you think friends are very important and you go after them and you're like, I want to be friends and yeah. you're my friend and this is our group and that's hang out. And then you sort of get to an age where you're not actively seeking the same social elements
oh, yeah.
anymore. Like I have people that I've become friends with that I didn't even realize it for a while. And I was like, oh, I'm not doing my end of reaching out and being a friend but to you because I didn't think we were doing that.
I think
that.
Also like, Rory, you and I met 10 years ago. And we've yes. become extremely good friends in the last like 3 to 4 years.
We're doing okay.
Fair. But how many great friendships are you even making later on in life? Like, when's the last time you made a great new friend that was like, oh, you're a, like a...
Well, first of all, I'm sitting between two new great friends right now.
Thank you, Kevin.
And I'm already overwhelmed with having to try to keep up with a friendship. But
so I'm leaving it. I'm leaving this friendship. Yeah.
So that's my exit point here. This is so much fun. I'm always open to new friends
sure.
because, you know, I'm bored with my other friends. But it is a lot of work, you know, when you have a family and when you're touring a lot and mm-hmm. busy at home. Mm-hmm.
That's why we love the green room so much.
That's right.
You're
that's
like,
right.
Oh, you're here.
Yeah. But you know, you guys seem much more patient and sensitive about this, maybe because you're younger than me and I've been through, you know, relationships. But life is so short. And if it seems like Mike has to, and maybe I can't remember the letter enough, but it seems like he has to do a lot of work to keep this girl. She's not happy. I was on stage the other night, and some girl, I said, anybody, before I leave, any questions? She goes, are you happy? She goes, are you happy? And I thought, wow, that's a good question. You know, I better be happy. You know, I thought, but yeah, I'm happy, but I'm happier sometimes than I am now, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty happy right yeah. now. So, you know, are you being with somebody because you feel guilty not being with them and they're not happy and they're in medical school and that's a lot of work? And are you the kind of person that really is wants to take care of somebody?
And, is that too?
You know,
yeah. Were you,
and if that is, then he's maybe in the right spot.
But I think I was going to bring that up as well is I wonder, everything is either new or distant for her right now, right? So like,
yeah.
How much of that also is like her boyfriend is gone, and I know you're like, oh, we see each other maybe 2 times a week and sometimes 4, but that's still a distance. And then she's in a new place. And so I think she could be just kind of like, kind of unhappy.
Also, like, you're a med student. That is hell.
Hell.
That's hell. You have no free time.
No,
I mean, what is
all.
He getting out of the relationship?
Well, he doesn't. Really she pays to that side.
She
of it.
Pays oh, him
she's
to be.
Paid. Okay, all right. So it's all worth it then.
I mean, he says she's smart, fun, and exciting, and he can't understand why anyone wouldn't reach out to her more. But also, like, how many people are we talking? 3 or 4? You could just easily have 3 or 4 people that aren't like very reach out people. Like, they might even be like, oh, none of us.
We no, they might not like, even reaching out to each other.
Right. That they
That's
just
an interesting
you know
point.
What I'm saying? But like that doesn't negate your need, but don't put that on anybody else being the problem. You just need to be more people who are more in sync of how you operate. Right?
It's difficult. And med school is obviously it's, you know, it's all encompassing and it's really not a time to go out and make friends, you know? It's really right, a time right. to kind of buckle down and I can't even imagine having
Save
any free
lives.
Time.
Learn how to save lives.
Save lives, man. Once you become a doctor, then you can go out on the golf course and make friends, you know?
Once you pass it.
Make friends with your patients.
Yeah.
Hang out with them.
I mean, is he complaining that it's all on him?
I don't think he's complaining. I think he's baffled. I think he's bewildered because I think he's like, wait a minute. I see this in this person, but no one reaches out to hang out with this person. Are these people not seeing what I'm seeing? And I think there's an element of...
She moved away from her family. She moved away from her friends.
Yeah. I think that social, you know, and you sort of said it. We're in a different position where almost all of my friends, a large portion of them, 90% at least, we all have the same job.
Yeah.
And I don't reach out because I have the expectation I'm going to just see them. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, not even in Los Angeles. I'm going to see them in an airport or in another club or another city.
Right.
But I'm not, I don't actively seek out time with so many people who I do consider good friends, and there's a chance, and there's nothing, there's no malice to it or anything, and there's a chance that these other people in this letter are also like, oh, well, we do always end up hanging out just because we're not reaching out.
Yeah,
I think there's also a world where, and I would need more information, but there's also a world where it's like, where all are those people hanging out without you, or are they also maybe not even hanging out? Like, no one reaches out to me. It's like, because no one's doing anything.
And we've mentioned this before, right? I you know, I can speak for you and I, Rory, like big proponents of therapy. Kevin, I know that you're very anti-therapy, and
which
you,
is so strange because nobody has that angle,
but he does, and he's stuck to
only
it.
Only the church has that angle.
The church. Your second book is called "Bottle It Up."
Bottle it up and keep it.
Keep it. Throw it away.
Memoirs from a serial killer. Yeah.
But like, I think if there's a chance, again, not a professional, thank you, Kevin, we're definitely not, but that therapy could, you could just find out that you are feeling needy in your life. And it's okay to feel that way. It's just to recognize that that need, to use that word again, but like that thing that isn't being filled is coming from you and not through actions of other people that are being detrimental to you. They're operating in a vacuum. You are just in a place where maybe you're feeling slighted or insecure or just wanting a little bit more than you're getting from just a natural environment.
Yeah.
And that's it's okay. It's only not okay if you let it be destructive or you don't work on it and explore why that feeling is and hopefully come out. If not better, at least more knowledgeable.
I mean, I got to say, Mike, I don't envy your situation here because it is tough. You know, you're in the middle of a thing where you're like, this person's great. I don't get it. And now you're trying to console her. And like we said, we don't really know him and we don't know her. So we don't know what contributes to it. But I would say if I was in your position, knowing what you've given us in this letter, I would also be confused. And I don't know what conversation you have to necessarily alleviate it. So I can't speak too much to what a potential solution could be. And I don't know that I've ever been stumped like that on this show where I'm always just like, go talk to this person or try this.
I think that's it though, Roy. I think it's what you started out saying. It's a good thing you've admitted that you have this feeling and that you're needing something. And then I would keep that communication going.
I think maybe conversations. You and her having a lot of conversations to figure out what maybe it might really be.
Or maybe get therapy together.
Go do a therapy together. We say it all the time.
You know, I've had girlfriends, at least one girlfriend, that I really liked a lot. I thought she was the bee's knees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when we broke up, I found out nobody liked her.
Yeah. Really?
Except for me. Love is blind.
But also sometimes people play to it because they're like, well, Kevin likes her, so we like Kevin, so let's not rock the boat, the chowder. Don't rock the chowder. Keep everything nice and calm.
Guy, you know, this guy's working on his boat most of the week, right? this is a different guy. It's a different guy.
But he might have a boat.
He's out of the house. Yeah. What does he care? He's going to have a whole new life out on the water.
That's our next letter. Yeah. My husband won't stop with the boat.
My husband's now addicted to the boat, and he thinks he's best friends with Kevin Nealon. Yeah, Mike, I hope we provided some levity to it with some of our jokes. But good luck figuring it out and hopefully a good conversation. Maintain that and see if that gets you anywhere and maybe some solutions pop up. But we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Kevin Nealon.